Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 87 of the Fully Buzzable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Say alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
I rolled my R's, dude.
Yeah, you're the modern day Maharaja of rolling R's.
Thank you. Scott, this week is going to be short, man. News, nostalgia, your secret questions back, and Godfather's hat is going to round out the show.
Yeah, listeners, let us know if you've heard this one before. We've got a short show this week. It always ends up going like an hour when we say that.
Best way to support the show, best two ways, I should say, to support the show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt or Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirt, or pick up the Fig Life pin and t-shirt combo, $20. That's it.
Did you say 20?
Yeah, $20, dude.
$20 for a pin and a t-shirt.
Yeah, I know the old age is hitting you a little hard these days.
I tend to forget after 6 days.
Yes, on the seventh day, I have to remind you that it's $20.
Yeah, I always forget, but that's amazing. The deal is still going.
Exactly, dude. This is like 50 first dates, you know?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Fig Life shirt says Fig Life on the front, or hashtag Fig Life, and then the back has the Fully Posable logo, correct? So it's a front and back shirt.
It's a front and back shirt.
And a pin.
And a pin.
For $20.
For $20.
Dude.
Right?
I know some of the dudes out there are like, you know, maybe I'll take my lady out for a nice dinner this weekend. We'll go hit up Applebee's or Chili's on a 2 for $20. Let me tell you, listeners, don't do that. Don't do that. Take your 20, send it to Jeff, and he'll send you a pin and a t-shirt. And you will get much more satisfaction out of your pin and t-shirt than you will out of a $10 dinner for yourself.
Yeah, Chili's and Applebee's. How about more like Netflix and scrambled eggs? Come on.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable. Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts with Marty DeRosa, Brian Breaker, Chris from FTC, Zach Ryder, and we will have future shows, Scott.
Yes, we will.
At FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, I am going to read our second ever review on iTunes.
Okay. Last week we had Sue666.
And more sixes with a couple other sixes.
Yes. Yes, but it was S-I-O-U-X, Sue, not S-U-E, yes. Sue. And yes. That was a glowing 5-star, so I can't wait to hear what glowing review we get this week.
This week, Scott, this came to us about a year and a half ago. On iTunes, it says, The Best There Is by S.T. Jack.
Wow. Short and to the point.
Yeah.
And we sucked a year and a half ago.
I know, dude. It was awful.
Wow. A glowing review at our worst.
S.T. Jack said, These guys have a passion for what they are talking about. An in-depth knowledge based on years of collecting. Great fun listen.
How nice.
I know. Thank you, ST Jack.
That's a nice way of saying these geezers know their action figures.
ST Jones? Okay, listeners, we want you guys to hunt down ST Jones and have him leave us a review on iTunes.
Dude, ST Jones is dead.
ST Jones passed away?
Yes, dude. That joke is way too soon.
Oh my God, what does Whitney Houston think about it?
What?
I can't even imagine what Michael Jackson thinks about that too.
What?
What?
Are you talking about Quincy Jones or something? Are you having a stroke?
No, I'm not having a stroke. S.T. Jones passed away. That one I did not know.
Yeah, S.T. Jones passed away. It's very sad.
Oh, when did that happen?
Oh man, 5 years ago, 4 years ago maybe? I could be way off too, but yeah, sadly he passed away. One of my all-time favorite LJN figures. And yeah, sadly he passed away.
I didn't know SD Jones passed away. I thought he was still alive.
No, and if I'm not mistaken, was it like a car accident or something? I could be way off here, but he did pass away.
I remember Junkyard Dog passed away in a car accident.
Yes, sadly he did. And I'm actually, I'm looking at my phone here, and he actually passed away almost 10 years ago. He passed away in 08 of a stroke. Not a car accident. So yeah, very, very sad. Thanks for bringing the podcast down with an SD Jones joke, by the way.
It wasn't even a joke, dude. I didn't even know he had passed away.
See why we can't have nice things?
Aww.
Like fun podcasts?
Thank you, ST Jack. See what you led us. See what you started.
Pass the blame onto a guy that gave us a 5-star. You're such a heel, dude. I'm going to get you thrown out of here.
You can send us any audio questions, questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, you seem to have the better luck of toy spotting this past week. We had no success whatsoever. Ours consisted of empty Walmarts and lame Targets.
The usual.
Yes, we call that the West Coast. That is known as the West Coast.
Yeah, the struggle is in fact real over here on the West Coast. Much like you, I didn't actually hit Target, but I did hit a couple of different Walmarts and was striking out all around. Ours is still not getting the Retro Series 2 in, but on Twitter, Jeff at Toy Spotting, the main man of Toy Spotting, he sent out a message asking if anybody was interested in purchasing his Elite figures. This was about, I would say, probably 3 weeks ago. And I hit him up and I was like, dude, if you have the LOD Elites, I'm interested. And he was like, yeah, those aren't ones that I'm willing to part with. I got to hang on to those. And I was like, dude, no problem. I totally understand. I get it. And we left it there. Well, he hit me up earlier this week and he was like, you are still interested? And he shot me a picture of them. And I mean, these things are in like pristine condition. They're loose, but pristine condition, the shoulder pads, the arm things, all complete. And I was like, yes, dude, what price do you want? We worked out a price. And I am proud to say that I am now the owner of loose LOD Elite figures, and they are beautiful.
That's awesome, dude. And still in pristine condition and
pristine. The joints are tight, not loose. The all the accessories are there and they just look awesome. They've got the gauntlets, the shoulder pads, just killer. And I'm still going to purchase that WrestleMania 2 ring, the authentic scale with the cage from Ringside Collectibles. And so I can't wait to get LOD just thrown in there and tearing it up.
Nice, dude.
Yes. Cannot wait. And I also, based on last week's show, I need to go back and make a correction because I must have had a humongous brain fart. And as we were talking about the Mae Young Classic Tournament, I kept referring to Kairi Sane as Connie Sane. For some reason, I thought her name was K-A-N-I. It is not K-A-N-I. It's K-A-I-R-I, I believe. It's Kairi Sane. So my apologies, Mrs. Sane, if you were listening to the podcast last week and I repeatedly mispronounced your first name. I was having a JR calling NJPW moment, mispronounced your name, and I apologize.
How did you know she's married?
I do not know, actually.
So then she would be Miss Sane.
Miss Sane?
Miss Sane.
Miss Sane.
Yes.
Yes. And we're going to just leave that right there. I don't know. Dude, are you sure you're not having a stroke?
Dude, you have no idea how tired I am. This week has legitimately killed me, dude. Work is just on a whole different level this week. So yeah, I'm a little delirious.
Awesome. Mental note, mess with Jeff the entire show.
Oh, Scott. We've only got one thing of news, so is it even worth playing the music?
I think it's always worth playing the music, even if it only is a bit of news.
Well, actually, it's not even music. It's the Road Dogg saying, oh, you didn't know.
It's still music because you can hear it kind of start to go in.
Oh, yeah.
Then it stops.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's worth it to play the music. Now that we've completely hyped it up.
Yep.
It won't live up to the hype.
All right. Let's do the news.
You didn't know?
Scott, after booking our room to Los Angeles between segments, it's funny, David Myers asked what goes on between segments and why stuff gets edited down. It literally took us 20 minutes to just book a room down in Los Angeles right now.
Yeah, that included research and pricing inquiries and booking the room, somehow managing to screw up booking the room and calling to get said screw up changed. But it's all good now.
And check.
Yep, all done.
So that's it for the news. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. The news is we have a room in LA. Hooray for us.
Scott, in the news this week, Sasha Banks, Walgreens exclusive started popping up on shelves. Well, at Walgreens. But here's the cool part. Aside from the very first women's title, nothing is cool about that Sasha figure.
I tend to agree.
On the back, they showed a picture of Becky Lynch, which is the next figure up.
Yes, so it looks like Walgreens is going to be your one-stop shop for the women elite exclusives, Sasha and Becky. And the good news is Becky comes with the SmackDown women's title.
You know what? I kind of like this. It would be cool if for each figure that comes out, it shows the next figure to be up next.
I dig it. It's like a nice little teaser. You know, FTC does that already. So it's nice to see Mattel following suit.
Everybody was ecstatic to get Sasha, and then they flip over the card and there's Becky. It's like, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have to wait too long in between.
Right. That's a good touch.
Yep, I like it.
That's it. That's all for news.
Well, no, technically not. We mentioned last week that FTC is offering up the AJ silver and blue versions, each for $12.99. Well, we actually had one of our Instagram followers hit us up and let us know that because of that news that we shared on the podcast, they went out and bought an AJ figure. So it's nice to see that we're able to spread the good word.
And one of our good buds, Chris Esparza, did the same.
Yes, he did. So we're happy to share the word about FTC when we spot a deal through them. And we'll definitely share that with you guys. And then hopefully you go out and make that purchase.
Okay, that's it for the news.
Yes, that is officially it for the news. It's one of those weeks.
Scott, nostalgia, Bendy figure, Series 3. What'd you say?
Let's talk about him.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. Scott,
we're trying to figure something out between segments, and it's not trying to figure out how to book a hotel this time.
No. To pull back the curtain a little bit further on this one, between segments, we got on the topic of nostalgia, and you started singing the My Buddy song. How did that go again, Jeff?
My buddy, wherever he goes. Was it ever he goes, I go, my buddy?
And then it was my buddy and me, that one. I'm sure all the 80s kids remember that one.
Yep.
So we remember my buddy. I was trying to think of that little plastic dog that had the cloth ears and it had a red collar. It was like a dark brown dog and it had a red collar on. And on the collar was a little lever that you could move back and forth. You take him in the tub with you and you get his ears wet. And then you could move the little lever on his collar back and forth. And his ears like flipped everywhere and got everything wet. Parents hated it. I couldn't remember the name of that dog. I'm stuck.
So listeners, tweet us if you happen to remember the name of the dog. I actually had this.
Yes, you did.
I remember the benefactors getting this for me. So help us out. See if we're not going to use the Google. We're going to wait for you guys to tweet us on Sunday.
Yes, to clear the air. Yes, and to set the record straight. We do know what Google is and we could use it, but it's more fun to just kind of throw it out there and all the 80s kids are going, oh, what was the name of that thing? So that's what we're doing. So
yes.
Hopefully somebody remembers that thing.
Scott, Bendy's.
Yeah, since this isn't a podcast about dark brown dogs with cloth ears that you could take into the bathtub or my buddy, back to the wrestling figures. Just Toys, Bendham Series 3 consisted of Ahmed Johnson, Shawn Michaels, Goldust, and Yokozuna. Four figures again.
The My Buddy podcast would only be one episode.
Yeah, maybe two, because in the second episode you would describe like how you lost your My Buddy, or one of your buddies like threw it on top of the roof of the school and you never saw it again. Things of this nature.
Listeners, tweet us and tell us if you ever did something extreme with your buddy.
Keep it clean, folks. We're running a family podcast here. We don't need to go to that next level.
PG, folks. PG.
Yeah, PG-13 at the worst.
Scott, Series 3. I think I know which one you were most excited about.
Yeah, Yokozuna.
Yeah, that pasty white skin that he had going on, man. That Sheamus has nothing on him, man.
Exactly. Yeah, Yoko takes the cake on that one. No, of course it was Ahmed Johnson. Come on.
The Ahmed Johnson didn't have enough arm pad, knee pad things on his leg.
Yeah, he was Ryback before Ryback was Ryback. Ahmed was the originator of so much crap on his legs and his arms that you couldn't see flesh underneath. It was just like a pile of red gear.
All the stuff that's on Ryback's arms was on Ahmed's legs.
Exactly. Ahmed, he had so much gear on him. It's like, what are you doing? Like, uncover yourself, dude. Like, you thought Cesaro was bad with tape. Man, Ahmed's way worse with his gear. But yeah, I was super excited to have an Ahmed Johnson figure, create some cool Hasbro matches by incorporating my Ahmed figure into it. The Goldust I thought was cool. The HBK was pretty good. least favorite, though, was absolutely Yokozuna.
Dude, he was so white, man. It was awful. It was like, okay, hold on. Yokozuna was not this.
it was off-putting. Like, it's not a nice figure to look at. You're like, ugh. I mean, they kind of did the body type justice.
Yeah.
Kind of. At least it was different. It wasn't like, could you imagine if they had released like the cookie cutter, muscular Yokozuna? Like, oh, that would have been so weird. But yeah, they kind of went good on the body type, but the face isn't that great. The coloring, like you mentioned, is just awful. Definitely the worst figure out of those four. But yeah, Ahmed, I thought was awesome. Of course I did.
HBK was in his white trunks with the red hearts.
Yes.
Kind of reminiscent of his RSC ringside exclusive.
Exactly.
Scott, that's it for nostalgia.
Yeah, we're just kind of blowing through them.
We're burning through this podcast tonight, man.
Yeah. Hey, we did have the disclaimer at the front.
Yeah.
It was probably going to be a short show. We didn't let the listeners listen to the booking segment, though. So maybe if it's only like a half an hour show, we'll just throw us booking a hotel in and ripping each other between segments about bad jokes.
Bad jokes?
Well, okay, you specifically having bad jokes.
I do have bad jokes sometimes.
I'm going to throw you right out of here.
Scott, your secret question's up next.
It doesn't have to be.
It is. Scott, your secret question this week.
Yes.
DX, NWO, Nation of Domination, Heenan Family. Name your favorite faction of all time.
Wow, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to go Four Horsemen.
No, that's not one of the ones I listed, dude.
Oh, fine. Let me stay inside of your box. Wait, what?
That's what he said?
Oh, Jeff's working blue tonight, folks.
So you're going Four Horsemen?
I'm going Four Horsemen. I'm a total 80s kid. I have the network. I watch all of the newest pay-per-views when they come out. And then when I'm sitting down at lunch, I find myself watching 80s and early 90s wrestling. I guess that's my stuff. Like, that's my jam, dude. I always go back to the old stuff. And back then, the Heenan family was strong, but there wasn't enough gold in that faction. And that's why I lean towards the Horsemen. They held all of the titles. Literally all of the titles were held by the Horsemen. I don't think you can go wrong with them. And I'm not talking the Paul Roma / Sid Vicious Four Horsemen. I'm talking Arn, Tully, Rick, Barry.
I have to agree with you about Barry.
Yeah, you could go Ole. You could go Luger. I will not. It's Barry. Barry was, man, Flair was amazing, but Barry might have been the best worker out of the Horsemen.
Barry was fantastic. He fit the Horsemen too. He did. You would think he didn't have that Four Horsemen look, but he really, really did.
He did.
When he joined them, it was like, that just works. Before, I would have said never, but
yeah, he was your standard vanilla babyface.
Yeah, exactly. Who could just go?
Yeah, he's like a cookie cutter Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, he's taller, he doesn't have the body, but he's got the blonde hair. He's your cookie cutter baby face. They're trying to make the next Hogan. Well, they kind of tried it, and then we're like, screw it, turn him heel. And that's when he really came into his own. They played Barry really well in the NWA, and that they put him in that feud with Flair. And I'm sure you remember this. He was going Broadway with Flair for like 6 months.
Yep.
And I think by doing that, they kind of turned him onto that whole rule-breaking side. And that he learned a lot of tricks from Flair. And they also showed that he could go in the ring. And I watched his match with Bigelow, his matches with Dusty. Barry just had some amazing matches with Sting. Just one of the best workers ever. And that's why he gets my vote as one of the best Four Horsemen.
I agree with you. Not Paul Roma.
Absolutely not Paul Roma.
It's cool in the Four Horsemen DVD, all of them just ripped Paul Roma.
Well, yeah, it was almost like they were desperate because I think he joined in like 93 or something like that.
Yeah.
Clearly did not have the chops to make it as a Horseman. You know, and of course, later incarnations of the Horseman, you're talking Benoit, Malenko, McMichael.
Who?
I know. Okay, Mongo.
Chris.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Chris. That dude.
Yep.
Crispy.
Yep.
that I really wasn't watching WCW too much, honestly, when that version of the Horseman was around. So I'm not one to judge it, good or bad. What I can go off of is what I watched in the late 80s when Barry was a member of the Horsemen. Just amazing. And how can you go wrong with the Brainbusters? And of course, the 16-time world champion, Ric Flair. That has to be up there with the best faction. If not the best faction, it's top two.
I agree with you. And it has to be with Barry. I was never an Ole fan. I did not see it with him. I loved Arn, just did not like Ole.
I'm with you. He was a little bit too stiff. But to be perfectly honest and perfectly fair, he was towards the end of his career when you and I started watching in like 85, 86.
Uh-huh.
He only had a couple more years of being an active competitor and he was done. You know, his best years were clearly behind him. That was the smart thing to do by cutting him out and bringing in Luger. But yeah, I have to go Horseman. I mean, look, NWO, DX, the Hart family.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart's stable. The Heenan family, just great, great factions. I just can't go against the Horsemen. You name the title in the NWA, they held it.
Yeah, like the Heenan family had what? They had Mr. Perfect and he had the IC belt.
And the Brainbusters had the tag titles.
And Andre and Haku also had the tag titles.
Yes, they did.
But no one ever really captured the heavyweight title.
Andre had it for like, what, 30 seconds and then sold it to the Million Dollar Man?
Yeah, exactly. Was he managed by Heenan at that time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember when he won it, I remember Million Dollar Man being down there. I just don't remember Heenan.
Because they had that whole thing where Heenan like basically sold Andre's services.
Yeah.
With the catch that if Andre won, he had to sell the belt to the Million Dollar Man. And that's what went down. So yeah, Heenan technically had the heavyweight title in his possession for like 30 seconds. The Hart family, Jimmy Hart's stable, the Hart Foundation had the tag titles, the Nasties, the Natural Disasters, Money Inc. A lot of tag gold. He had the Intercontinental Champion in hockey, but again, no heavyweight title.
Right, right.
Well, until he went and put a saddle on Hulk Hogan in WCW, but that's a different story. Different family, too.
Going back to the Four Horsemen, regarding Ole, I can't tell you what it was, but as he was stiff, I just didn't like him as part of a Horseman. He just, to me, did not fit that stable.
Yeah, he was kind of dry.
Yeah.
Personality-wise, because the Four Horsemen were so big on personality. You know, Tully, he was super flashy, and you had Flair, who was always in the nice suits, and Arn, you know, was the technical guy in the ring and was just kind of a hard-ass. But then Ole also was a hard-ass, but just kind of on the dry side. I don't know. I agree with you, though. Ole never really did it for me. But again, he was on, you know, the backside of his career. But Barry.
Yeah.
I have to go with the Four Horsemen with Barry. NWO had a lot of gold, DX a ton of gold, but the Four Horsemen were kind of like the original badasses in the ring.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Ole was good because he would work a body part and it would kind of look like, okay, I could see how that guy's leg is like ready to fall off after Ole just twisted it 90 times.
Oh yeah, it's nothing to do with his work in the ring. I mean, he was really good. Him and Arn Anderson were a great tag team.
Yeah.
They had some awesome matches with the Rock and Roll Express, the Road Warriors.
Yep.
But overall, they got better, I thought, when they lost him and brought in Luger, and got even better when they brought in Barry.
I remember I was watching an NWA Saturday night, and Sam Houston was wrestling.
Saturday night. Okay, so you're talking NWA?
Yeah, NWA Saturday night.
Yep.
And Sam Houston's wrestling, and it's an 11-minute match with a jobber. And the whole match, Sam Houston is working the guy's left arm. Like, he's doing arm drags. He's putting it in different holds. He's really wringing the left arm. And then he polishes him off with a bulldog. And I'm like, okay, why'd you just work the arm for like 11 minutes?
You would think he's going to go for like an arm bar submission or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead, he just drops him on his dome.
That's why Danny Davis beat him.
Yeah. That's what you get, Sam Houston, for wasting 11 minutes of Jeff's life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, let's see the Sam Houston match. Okay, he's working the arm. Okay, I see it. And then he polishes him off with a bulldog. I'm like, dude, why didn't you just like use Crush's old move and put a crush device on him or something?
Yeah, that's goofy.
Yeah,
that's goofy. What are you voting for? You didn't even mention the Horseman.
Horseman is definitely up there. I know it's so new, but how good was the Shield?
Oh, look what it's done for those three guys.
Exactly.
And I think that is the perfect way to judge a faction. Is not only how good they are while they're in it, but how good they are after the fact too. And the Shield 100% has to be up there.
I know that there's other podcasters that say this, and I 100% agree with them. if it wasn't for The Shield and Daniel Bryan around 2012, 2013, 2014, WWE would have been hurting because Raw was really bad at that time.
I agree.
It was those four guys that helped save Monday Night Raw around that time period.
Yeah, and the roster sure has changed a lot since then, right? But those three guys, The Shield,
yep,
they're at the top of the card.
Yep, exactly. DX is definitely one of my favorites. As much as I hated Shawn Michaels back then, the stuff him and Triple H were doing in China was just fantastic.
Well, and it was great that they evolved, too.
Right.
Once Shawn Michaels stepped away, they reinvented themselves by bringing in X-Pac and the New Age Outlaws. So, yeah, it was almost like a second life, and I think that they were better then than when it was just HBK, China, and Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Evolution was really good.
Yes, look what it did for Randy Orton.
Batista, too.
Yeah, not to mention Batista, exactly.
I'm going to agree with you on the Four Horsemen. I definitely agree with you. The Shield is right up there. They protected those guys so well.
Yeah, and what broke up the Shield was just Seth jumping ship, you know, over to Triple H. That's the only thing that killed what they had going. They were destroying what was Evolution at the time in matches. And you kept waiting for the Shield to take that loss, and they never did. And I think that that really set them up as, okay, these guys are the real deal. So when they broke out as three single stars from that, they just took off. And that's how you do it, man.
Yep.
You give these guys big wins over established stars. Suddenly you've got a bunch of main event stars. That is great booking on WWE's part for the Shield.
You know, another faction, and I can't believe I left this out, the Bullet Club.
Yes, shooting over to indies. Yeah, they keep reinventing themselves as well.
New Japan ain't indies. Don't you bring that.
Well, okay.
New Japan is its own entity.
Okay, you're right.
It's the WWE of Japan.
That's true.
Yeah, so I would have to say Bullet Club. I mean, you can throw when it was led by Balor, when it was led by AJ, Omega. Dude, awesome. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys that don't care going out there and just breaking all the rules.
Yeah, and they keep changing their leader too, which I dig. I think that that's a cool touch.
Yeah, exactly.
So wait, what is your favorite faction? You ran through a bunch. You're saying DX?
No, I'm saying the Horsemen, followed by the Shield.
Oh, Horsemen 1, Shield 2.
Yep.
Okay. So was your answer Horsemen all along? You just weren't throwing them out there because you didn't want me to take it first?
No, it was Horsemen first.
Okay, okay.
Don't want to forget the Freebirds.
Absolutely cannot forget the Freebirds.
Or the Von Erichs.
I guess technically they were a faction. Technically.
Technicality, yes.
That truly was just family, though. Like, Heenan called what he had family, but the Von Erichs were really family. So I guess that would qualify as a faction. It was a bunch of guys on one team that there was never a chance that everyone were going to go heel.
I would consider that a faction. They stuck together.
Okay. I would go with that. And man, if they hadn't had all that tragedy, it's crazy to think the careers that those guys would have had.
Oh, well, they were prime and David to have that NWA title.
Yes. Yep.
And then they gave it to Kerry.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Kerry wasn't reliable and then had the injury.
Yeah.
Where he got his foot amputated and then he got hooked on drugs. Just so tragic, man, because Kerry was such a good talent. I really, really liked Kerry Von Erich in the 80s. And just what happened to him later in life. Just so sad, dude.
Yeah.
So sad. And, you know, and Kevin, you know, he tried. But I think Kerry was the one with the most charisma in the family. And unfortunately, he couldn't hold it up.
That was a good question about factions.
No, I liked it. I liked it. And, you know, for our faction, to the letter, there is a four-pack. And it has every single one that we talked about. Flair, the Brainbusters, and Barry Windham.
And you bought that for $15, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. The only thing I don't like about that four pack is there's no belts.
Agreed.
How great would it have been if Flair came with the big gold belt and they were able to create the NWA tag team titles and the NWA US championship for Barry Windham?
I wish they could have gotten the licenses.
That would have made that one of the best four packs ever, in my opinion. Not that it's bad. I think it's really, really good. But you include those titles in there. Oh, man. That would have just been perfect icing on the cake.
I know they have to get the licenses for belts. They have to get them from some dude who created the belts. They have to get the licenses for to do toys or anything like that.
Oh, man, that sucks. Because how cool would it be as if when they do release that Hall of Fame Rock and Roll Express 2-pack, that they could actually release the NWA tag belts with them?
Yep.
The metal ones, too. Not the plastic ones, the metal ones. Oh, that would be so awesome.
I know which ones you're talking about.
That would be sick, dude.
All right, Scott, that's it for this week on your secret question.
Oh, I could talk factions all day, dude. I love that. Oh, and what about the Dangerous Alliance?
Oh, yeah, Zabisco, Austin.
Yep.
Arn, yeah.
Arn Anderson was in it. Bobby Eaton.
Yeah, Bobby Eaton was in it.
Medusa, Rick Rude. Dangerous Alliance was good. They were strong, just not enough, I don't know, maybe not enough gold to really rank up there, but I kind of think that they're underrated. They don't get mentioned a lot, but they were solid in the ring. Really solid. A lot of good workers.
I know a lot of people are going to be like, hey, you guys didn't say NWO. NWO is good, but it never really, when it was Hogan, Hall, and Nash, it had a feel to it. But then when they started rolling up like four limos deep and have it be like a clown car with 90 guys getting out of, you know, each car.
Yeah.
That's when it kind of lost its flavor.
Yeah, the NWO got watered down pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah.
You're right. There was magic with Hogan, Hall, and Nash, but then you started bringing in, I mean, you could just run through the list, and it got really watered down, and then they split it into two different NWOs, and it just turned into a crazy soap opera, you know, instead of a strong faction. And yeah, there was a lot of gold that rolled through there, and there's no mistaking what they did for the business, but maybe it's a bias against WCW/NWO of the mid to late 90s, but they aren't big on my list.
They helped save wrestling because wrestling was still in that down period. It was Stone Cold that helped take it to a different level. Like the NWO brought it back.
Yes.
And it kind of made everyone go, oh crap, what's going on over here? Hall and Nash were just in WWE like a month ago. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then they kind of built it back up. But then Austin just took it to a whole different level.
I think all the credit in the world goes to the NWO for making wrestling cool again. They were the cool bad guys, you know, and they made it cool to wear an NWO shirt. You know, oh, that dude's got an NWO shirt. That's awesome. You know, they made it cool to be a wrestling fan. And then, like you mentioned with Stone Cold, he helped, just kind of take it to the next level because, you know, WWE was a sinking ship at the time and the NWO came in and it made it good for all of wrestling. You know, obviously WCW was a little bit better because they actually hosted the NWO. But yeah, once WWE had Stone Cold kind of take off with that character, you know, then wrestling was really cool. It was really cool to be a wrestling fan again. So all the credit goes to the NWO for making that happen. But as far as, you know, in my book, the best wrestling factions, they aren't up there. 100% Four Horsemen with Barry Windham. That is the best of all time.
There's no agree to disagree on this one, Scott.
Yeah, we're actually 100% in agreement. And even the same four guys, too. That's impressive. With JJ or no JJ?
Oh, no, with JJ.
100% agree. There we go.
I'm holding up the 100 emoji to you right now.
No, you're not. Stop lying to our listeners.
Sorry, listeners. Scott, we're going to round it out with a top five and the Godfather's hat.
I like it.
Let's do it. Come get on the train. Tripping ain't easy. Scott, before we get into the Godfather's hat, last week we dedicated the show to Sam Thompson. His brother Zach sent in the Blue Blood figures, which we still greatly appreciate.
Absolutely.
That from Zach. But what I decided to do is I messaged Zach this past week and I asked Zach, I said, if you could think back, what was Sam's top five favorite figures? And I should have done this last week since it was the memorial show for Sam. I thought, you know, we could have done this last week, but I thought of it this week and I'm going to read off his top five.
Well, I love being able to bring him back into the show. So every chance we get, we should absolutely do that. So let's do it.
So here's Sam's top five. He said he loved the Macho Hasbro Series 1.
That is pretty much on everybody's list. Such a good figure.
Sam loved the OSFTM RVD, the first one.
Oh, okay. Another good one.
He said the very first real scan, Chris Jericho. I remember I was always on the hunt for that one because I loved, well, I still do love Chris Jericho, but I was on the hunt for that one so bad.
Yeah. Love the initial batch of real scans. Those were just amazing.
He said Sam also loved there was an exclusive Jax 2-pack, and I don't remember this one, so I'm going to need your brain. He said there was a Shawn Michaels and a Vader 2-pack.
Hmm. Was that a bone crunching 2-pack maybe?
I don't know. He said it was exclusive to a store, like some type of store. I don't think I ever saw that.
That doesn't ring any bells for me either.
Yeah, I wonder if it was exclusive to like maybe a store on the East Coast or something.
Yeah, or Canada or something. I'm not sure on that one. So listeners, if you know that one,
send it our way.
Yeah, send us a pic. Let us know.
And he said for number five, it was a tie between the 16-inch LJN Roddy Piper and the early Jack Stone Cold, he said, with sad face. So I'm taking it's the very first bone-crunching Stone Cold Bad Boy.
The Bad Boy Stone Cold, yeah.
Yep. So that was Sam's top five.
Love that pick on the 16-inch Piper. That one doesn't make any lists that I remember. So, hey, right on. Good pick.
That was the very first time that 16-inch Piper came into play.
Yeah, I love it.
Yep.
Great top five.
Great top five, Sam. Zach, thank you again. Scott, Godfather's hat. I'm dropping six names into the Godfather's hat.
What's that thing smell like now?
Shame.
It smells like shame and vanilla.
Yep.
and regrets.
You know it too well. Godfather's name is producing six names tonight, Scott. We reach into the Godfather's hat. We pull one name. That's how this thing works. We talk about that one name, and that's it.
Okay.
So it could be any figure, past, present, whatever it may be. Six names are in the hat, Scott. And tonight, the Godfather's hat produces... I think you're going to have fun with this one. The Hulk Hogan Hasbro with Hulkster Hug.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Great figure. I actually really love this pose. It was basically a bear hug pose, but for some reason you could just open up the arms and do a sick looking clothesline. He was still in a good pose. He had a great facial expression. I love this Hulkster.
Yeah, it was another Hogan in a shirt or a tank top, I should say.
Right.
The traditional red and yellow, the headband. But yeah, he was in that kind of, what do they call that pose, Jeff? The most muscular? Where you kind of have the arms kind of out in front of you. And it looked like he was like finishing up doing his pose in the ring. He was in that pose, but the arms, like you said, opened and closed. So that's why they called it the Hulkster Hug. You could put a guy in a bear hug real easy. But like you said, if you open the arms up, you could do clotheslines. You could throw some Sam Houston Bulldogs. You could do body slams. You could do suplexes with it. That is actually one of my favorite Hogan Hasbro figures. I love that Hogan.
Oh, you didn't like the spring punching Hogan arm?
Who did?
No one.
Exactly. It ranks up there with the Rick Rude LJN.
I'm glad the Godfather's hat didn't produce that one tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is a great Hasbro. I don't know if it's my favorite Hogan, but it's definitely up there. I thought that Hasbro just nailed it. They had that knack of taking a 6 foot something dude and shrinking him down to 4 inches of plastic and making it look amazing.
The other good thing you could do is like a Hogan atomic drop or something like that.
Yes.
That was another thing you could do, because you could set the guy, his opponent, I should say, in Hogan's kind of shoulder area.
Yes. And he was almost like cradled there.
Yeah, exactly. And then he would hold them up there, and then he would eventually do an atomic drop.
Yeah, and actually, I believe the legs on this one were posed in such a way that you could actually make a pretty convincing leg drop, too. Like, yeah. One was a kind of forward a little bit, so when you put Hogan up in the air and dropped him down, you could do a pretty convincing leg drop with it, too.
That's it for tonight for the Godfather's hat, Scott.
Okay, another winner. I like that one. That's a great Hogan.
Was that your favorite Hasbro Hogan?
Well, let's run through it real quick. We had the initial one that had the kind of gorilla press slam pose.
Yep, the spring punch arm.
Yes, and then we had the Hulkster hug.
Yep.
Then there was the mail away in the red and yellow.
Well, that was a red tank top, red workout pants type deal.
Yes, it was like his WrestleMania 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Outfit when he came out and won the title. And one of his arms was in kind of just a hard pose, and it was just a poseable arm. But the other one was the arm that you could lift up and slam down, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, and then we had the Abomination one punch. And also, let's not forget the Hulkaplex Hogan from Series 3.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was the original before they had the mail away. So they basically just repainted Series 3 Hogan.
That's right.
Yeah, so actually, if I had to pick, I think it's going to be the Hulkaplex. That one was a little bit cooler, I think, as in terms of what moves you could do. But yeah. I really, really like that Hulkster hug, too.
You know what? Now that I think about it, just because his arms were able to move a little bit more than the Hulkster hug.
Yes.
I think that I'd have to agree with you. Good call on that one.
It's close for me. I definitely like it better than a Series 1. Obviously, much better than the punch. So yep. it's super close between that second and third Hogan, but I think I'm probably going to give the edge to the Hulkaplex. But that Hulkster hug, such a cool feature. I really like that.
And it's just worth mentioning, they did come out with a 12-inch Hogan?
Yes, in their 12-inch line.
Yeah, the 12-inch Hogan. Just worth mentioning. That's
yes.
all.
So if you ever wanted a 12 inches of Hulk Hogan and you didn't want to spend the money on that tape that he came out with, that Hasbro 12-inch Hogan is for you.
And there's a drop for Breaker and Bane.
That's what I go for.
Well, I got to cue that one up. Where is that one at? That was 1 hour. Okay. Got to send that one over to Bane. Scott, that rounds out episode 87. Is there anything you want to express your feelings on? Do you want to, from the depths below, to just express?
Yes. Formerly, I would say fight forever to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And I honestly hope that they do, because I always love their matches. But I also want to extend that out to the Usos and New Day, who are continuing to impress me with the tag team matches they put on. And I'm okay with them taking their feud all the way to WrestleMania. That doesn't even have to be the conclusion match there. Just keep trading the belts. I'm having a lot of fun with the matches that they're putting on. Also, the finals of the Mae Young Classic, I thought that that was the best match for both performers. Still not a fan of Shayna Baszler, but Kairi Sane, I'm going to get her name right one of these days. Kairi Sane, I wasn't super sold on her. I thought she was good. I wasn't like blown away, but that match against Shayna Baszler was, in my mind, her best match of the tournament. And I'm excited to see what she's going to do in WWE. I think she's only going to get better, and she's absolutely going to grow on me. I'm going to become a fan. I'm just excited to see who else they signed from that tournament, because the women's division in WWE, it's about to get super strong.
Yeah, there's going to be an infusion of new blood.
Yes, and I'm super excited by it, too. I can't wait to see what they can do.
And all I'm going to say is Okada is Wrestler of the Year. That's all.
Mark.
That guy has put on so many good matches this year. I don't even know where to begin, dude. Every match I watch of this guy, I'm just like, this just got better.
You think he's going to go to WWE?
Nope. I don't want him to go to WWE.
Yeah, I agree. Stay in your lane. Do NJPW and just keep dominating.
Well, not only that, I want another top organization. And I think NJPW is making enough waves over in Japan. And they're going to come over here and they'll kind of make a little wave at first. And then I think there'll be another WCW, WWE. I don't know. I don't want WWE to put them out of business. That's the only scary part.
That won't happen.
But Okada, Omega, Young Bucks, all of them over there have the potential to make it competitive.
You just know what they're lacking, though, right?
A Hogan?
Wrestling figures.
Oh, God, yeah, I know.
They need wrestling figures.
I thought you were going to say Hogan.
No.
No, I don't want them to. Yeah, I don't want them to have Hogan.
No, they don't need Hogan. TNA didn't need him either, but it didn't stop them.
Oh, yeah, let's not go there.
Yeah.
That's a whole different ugly monster.
Yes, agree.
The best way to support the show is either get the Fig Life t-shirt and pin combo. You can get the pin by itself or the Fig Life t-shirt by itself. The pin's $10. Shirt is $20. Or you can get both for $20. Holy crap, Scott.
Dude, that is a screaming deal. Like, yeah. One of these shows, we're going to get Don West. Just to like hype the crap out of that combo deal.
Listeners, if you happen to know Don West, can you have him do that plug for us? That
yeah, please great. Put us in touch with him.
Yes, that would be great. Thanks.
We're big Don West fans.
Didn't you buy a Michael Jordan bust?
Here we go again. It was Scottie Pippen, dude.
Scottie Pippen. I'm just kidding. You can head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up the Fully Opposable Goes Retro, the Fully Opposable Classically Jacked t-shirts. You can do that to help support the show. As I said, all that goes back into the show like you guys did and help us get a recorder. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Opposable, Instagram, Fully Opposable, WFP. You can submit any reviews on iTunes like ST Jack did earlier, who started our downward spiral of depression.
Yeah, blame it on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can listen to us on iTunes, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. And send in any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, anything else?
Yes, please continue to follow and support Pollyanna DIY on Twitter. And happy toy hunting.
#FigLife. Adios.